Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over us and helping us to be healthy, that we can come here today, that we can meet with one another and share in the study of your word. We pray that you will help those that do have ailments to get well rapidly, that we can continue studying your word and sharing the gospel with others. We pray that you'll be with those in various parts of the world that are having difficulties due to outbreaks of diseases. And we pray that you especially can help take care of the Christians everywhere. And be with us tonight as we continue studying your word. And watch over and protect us through your son Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Continue some thoughts about what we've studied this past week, thinking about some occupations. We saw Jesus call Peter, Andrew, James, and John to be fishers or catchers of men. They were normally fishermen. It's one of those occupations that if you've done it even for leisure, you know, it's like I said Sunday, it's called fishing, it's not called catching, because you're not always catching. But I want to think about some other examples of occupations that are used to describe Christians, and specifically those that that go out and teach and preach the word. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, beginning of verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and that things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Here Paul uses three examples of occupations of the time. Talking about being a soldier, talking about athletes, talking about farmers. So what do all these have in common with being a fisherman? Well, first off, as any fisherman will tell you, it requires diligence and requires patience. Something that that we're not born with, for sure. I can tell you, I can attest to that personally. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, talking here about the tools of a soldier, beginning in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit and the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's right there at the end where Paul is making this point about perseverance, this diligence, this keeping, continuing to move forward. Peter tells us about these are some of the qualities of the fruit that we need to continue to grow in. 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So again, a couple of them in here. Peter starts off giving all diligence, things that we need to start adding to ourselves, adding to our character. And of course, in those is perseverance or patience. Just having that drive to continue going forward. Well, that's the same thing for all of those occupations. Think about an athlete. Who wants to run a marathon, 26 point something miles? I can tell you this fat boy doesn't. I just assume drive it than anything. I don't even know if I'd like to ride that on a bike. But for those that choose that course of life, it takes perseverance. It takes diligence to continue getting up before dawn, working at that all the time to get better at it, to strengthen yourself. It's not something that comes naturally. You have to continue working at that. All these professions require training. You know, you're not born knowing how to go get a hook wet and throw it out there, or in this case, talk about nets, how to cast nets out into the sea. There's an art to that. There's a form to that that takes a while to master. It takes a while to learn. You know, that saying goes for being a soldier. That's what boot camp's for. You go learn how to be a soldier. I just won't be able to attest to this for too much longer. Basic training. And it's called that for a reason. You're learning the basics on how to be a soldier. Turn back, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're not born knowing everything that's in the scriptures. It's something we have to work at. We have to train ourselves to study in the truth, to study the scriptures in truth, in spirit and in truth, to get that understanding. And we have to continue at it. And contrary to what Michael Bloomberg wants to say, there's a lot more to farming than just digging a hole, putting the seed in it, and watering it. There's a lot. There's four-year degrees for that. I referenced my Alabama people enjoy this. The Cal College down south on the plains. I saw Auburn got its start as an agricultural school. There's a lot to farming. There's a lot to training. And as technology continues to improve, there's a lot of training that goes into that. Even back then, things being passed down from generation to generation. How do you herd cattle? How do you raise cattle? How do you raise sheep? How do you raise all this livestock? How do you grow all this stuff? When are the best times? What does this disease look like? How do you fight it? I mean, there's a lot to know there with farming. So just like with fishing and being a soldier, being a farmer, being an athlete, it takes training to do those things. And lastly, what they all have in common is there could be negative results from all the hard work that you put in. Think about Jesus was talking to Peter when he tells him to put out. Peter tells him, we've been doing this all night and we haven't caught anything. He goes on to tell him, at your word, I'll let down my nets and do this. There are going to be times when crops won't give forth their yield. I mean, you can plant, you can do everything right, but it may not just come up. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Of course, the first 9 verses of Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. But what I want to read is the explanation of that parable beginning in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So again, the seed is the same. It's a matter of what ground it falls on as to whether it's going to take root and truly grow into something fruitful. The thing that we have to understand when we hit those negative moments, they're not rejecting us. Turn, if you would, to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the street and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you, there will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So as Jesus is sending out these 70s to go before him into the cities he's about to go, he tells them, some are going to welcome you in, some are not. And he's really, there in verse 20, in verse 16, not to take it personally, because it's not them that they're rejecting, it's ultimately God that they're rejecting. So, as we go out, and last thing to remember about all these professions, you have to join the profession. You have to commit yourself to it. And our profession is Christians. That's what we work at every day doing, is being a Christian. Being obedient to God, being a disciple of Christ. all these traits that we've talked about this evening play into us and how we have to live. We have to be diligent. We have to be patient. We have to have perseverance. We have to train ourselves. We have to be prepared when we're hit with negativity, when we're hit with negative results from what we do. But if you haven't joined that profession, that being a Christian, there's no time like the present to join. We're only guaranteed what we have right now. There may not be a tomorrow. There may not be, 10 years from now. We just don't know. All that we know is what's right here, right now before us. So tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, if you haven't joined, if you haven't become a Christian, there's no better time to do that than now. Or if you've fallen slack in your profession and need the help and the encouragement of Christians, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above.
Our Holy Father in heaven, we're certainly refreshed by our brethren and the opportunity to worship Thee together and have fellowship one with another. We're thankful for Your Word and how it brings strength to our faith and to our hope in heaven. We're thankful for this time that we can be together, and we pray for those who weren't able to be with us tonight, whether they're sick or traveling, that You will bless them. Father, we especially at this time are mindful of Brother Cheryl, that You will bless him with good health. We are thankful that he is out of the hospital and where he is now, but we understand that he still needs more help. And we pray that You will Bless those caretakers as they continue to aid and minister to him, and that, Father, you will bless him with good health in the days ahead, that you also bless his family, too. Bless Jarrell and Randy as they help out, and also Jerry as she helps him out also. Father, we are also mindful of Sister Beth, that you will continue to bless her with the transition of her medicine, that things will continue to go well for her. And we're thankful that you have allowed her and granted her relief from the old medicine that she had been taking through the pump, and that you will continue to bless her with better health in the days ahead. Father, we are thankful for, as Michael mentioned, the spiritual occupation that we have while we're here on this earth, that we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are his workers in his vineyard, and that we will take this job seriously, realizing that we are laying up for ourselves wages and treasures in heaven by your grace, that if we continue to sow the good seed and continue to cultivate things in our hearts, that we will realize that all these things can spring forth into eternal life and have eternal benefits for us. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless us as a congregation in the things that we do, and especially bless the elders and the decisions they make and the guiding of this flock. Father, we pray that you will bless us as we depart from here and continue to keep us safe and help us to be the light unto the world, realizing that there is darkness in this world, and you have put it on us to help shed that light of your gospel and of Jesus Christ, so that others might see his truth and what he offers through his precious blood. All these things we pray in his name. Amen.